As we stand, let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you are here in all the persons of the Trinity this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you want to meet with us in power. Thank you that you are the one, true, only God. Lord, we're gathered in your name, seeking to know you better. Teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've had a cold, wet winter, a cold spring. Temperatures in Exeter last night was zero, and tomorrow you've got the privilege of looking forward to rain over the whole of Ireland on Bank Holiday Monday. Hooray! You know, we're often tempted at this time of year to think about the things in threes, sometimes with the same letter for each of the things. And I'm looking forward to one day seeing sea, sun, and sand. When I often am asked to say grace, it seems as though people think that the minister's the only one who knows how to say grace. I often find the three F's. I thank God for food and for fun and for fellowship. But there are some even greater trinities than this. There is one great trinity. And there you see, today is Trinity Sunday. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. On this Sunday after Pentecost, we always think about Trinity. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which was written in 1647, there is a series of questions and answers so that men and women, boys and girls, should be able to learn doctrine well. Question 6 goes like this. How many persons are there in the Godhead? And the answer the folks should reply is, there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. This book was launched exactly 9 years ago today. It's the 21st century copy of, or 21st century edition of the Book of Common Prayer for our church here in Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. And back at the end of this, there is the section entitled Articles of Religion. These were drawn up in 1562, so that makes them a little bit older than the other ones from the Westminster Confession. These articles say the following. There is one living and true God, everlasting, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in the unity of this Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power and eternity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if you were to read the number 5 of the Articles of Religion, it goes on to say, the Holy Ghost, proceeding from the Father and the Son, is of one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father and the Son, very and eternal God. I don't know where I found it. You can probably tell me, probably one of the music group can. But I love the term, the Father Heart of God. And there's a sort of illustration, perhaps a poor human illustration, of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God loves us with such an inestimable love. A perfect love, and with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Father is co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful, and he is our God of love. Some people try and think of the Holy Spirit in practical terms. I love the way that it's the Holy Spirit, and I never call the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. I never call the Trinity an it, because the Trinity is a person, three persons in one God. One God in three persons. I've often found that the simple water is so useful to remember, because water can, as you well know, be in three different substances, in three different forms. It can be in ice, which I think gives that solid, strong whole idea of God. It can be water, the living water that Jesus spoke about in John chapter 4. And of course, water can be steam or vapor. Without that steam or vapor, the Industrial Revolution would never have got going. We'd have never had steam engines. There's power there. God is a God of power and might. Three persons in one God. It's difficult to understand, but he loves us. See, God is love. There's the heart of God. There's a crown on there. There are wings around that heart. God is love. We all know John 3, verse 16 so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Here, God's Father heart for us is seen in his giving of his only Son to die for us, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in his ministry, Jesus says, before he returns to heaven, he says, receive the Spirit. He will be your counselor, your comforter. He will lead you into all truth. God is love. The whole of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is love. And can I just say, he loves you immeasurably. Eternally, unconditionally. One book which has particularly helped me over the years is this book by Jim Packer, Dr. Jim Packer, Knowing God. This is a first edition, and it's a bit tatty now. Listen to this and just see how he begins this whole idea of the Trinity. On January the 7th, 1855, the minister of New Park Street Chapel, Southwark, opened his morning sermon as follows. It has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. I will not oppose the idea, but I believe it is equally true that the proper study of God's elect is God. The proper study of the Christian is the Godhead. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than thoughts of God. But while the subject humbles the mind, it also expands it. He who often thinks of God will have a larger mind than the man who simply plods around this narrow globe. The most excellent study for expanding the soul is the science of Christ and him crucified, and knowledge of the Godhead in the glorious Trinity. Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the Deity. Do you know who spoke those words? These words were spoken over a century ago by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And they were true then, and they're true now. How are we to get to know God better? How are we to know the deity better? Jim Packer says this: how can we turn our knowledge about God into knowledge of God? The rule for doing this is demanding but simple. It is that we turn each truth that we learn about God into matter for meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. Wow. God wants us to know him deeply. That's why I'm so pleased to have seen on the screen this invitation on Friday night to come along for this time of prayer, to meet with the Lord in a deeper, deeper way. Some of you around the auditorium have got a biscuit. Would you please pull out that biscuit now and examine it? I look for things which remind me of God, and I found that this biscuit reminded me of the Holy Trinity. The back portion of the biscuit reminds me of God, there, strong, sure. The front portion of the biscuit reminds me of Jesus Christ. And there you see in the center of it, a heart, the heart of God, and a heart which is red. And the red jam represents for me the blood of Christ. If you look very carefully, there's an impression on this front part which represents Jesus, with just the letters JD. Jesus died for you and for me. But there's a third part of the biscuit which you can't see, and that's the cream inside. The cream inside goes right the way around the heart, but it also joins the front, Jesus, to the back, God. And I believe that that represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sweet. The Holy Spirit is unifying. But the whole biscuit is designed for eating. Now, I'm not telling you to start eating it now, those who've got one. It's designed for eating, and the idea is this: God, Jesus likened himself to bread. God gave manna, which was beautifully sweet, to the Israelites in the desert. God wants us, says Jesus, to feed upon him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. By the way, if you get home and you try taking one of these biscuits apart and you look at the rear part of the biscuit on the inside, you'll get a surprise. You'll see just how much God loves how many people. Try it someday. Forget that it's called a jammy dodger. This one reminds us of the Holy Trinity. God is our Father and Creator. Christ is our Savior and Redeemer. The Holy Spirit fills us with God's power and presence and knowledge of God's purposes. I would say this: we need to know God better day by being one separated from the world. Come apart from them, says Jesus. Being separated from the world and what the world does. By being saturated with the Word of God. And then situated by the waters. Psalm 1 is all about this. Ah, you probably can't see, that's probably too small. And I can't read it from here either. So let me read it from out of the Bible. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. That's coming out from the world. That is being, as you can see here, separated from the world. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's being saturated by the word. And then verse 3. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Trees need water. And trees which are well irrigated grow well. We need the water, the living water of the Holy Spirit. I found this in Titus. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. This is not the normal version of the Bible which you would normally read. It's the contemporary English version. God, our Savior, showed us how good and kind he is. He saved us because of his mercy, and not because of any good things we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus, our Savior, to give us his Spirit. There you've got the whole Trinity in just half a sentence. Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God. I find that profound and yet simple. Isn't it wonderful to think how loving, how great our God is? He showed how good and kind he is. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of what we've done. He's washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us new birth, a new beginning. He sent Jesus, the Savior, to give us his Spirit. Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God. Have you ever thought that you could have a superb Rolls Royce silver cloud in perfect working order? But if it's got no petrol inside it, it will not work. And if you and I do not have the Holy Spirit of God within us, we may look good on the outside, but we won't go. We need the Father, who is our Creator. We need the Son, who is our Redeemer and Savior. We need the Holy Spirit, who fills us to full and overflowing with his love and his power. The Westminster Confession sums it all up in this way. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. When Christopher Columbus, just at the end of the 15th century, set out and crossed the North Atlantic Ocean, he came eventually towards what we know today as the Caribbean. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew that he had to keep on going west, and he believed he would find the new world. From the top of the mast, one of his sailors cried out, "Land ahoy!" Although he must have shouted it out in Spanish, because he was a Spanish-speaking man. And there, just on the horizon, there were three blips. Looked like three atolls, three islands. Gradually, the boat got closer and closer. The distance decreased. And then they saw that this was not three islands, but it was one island with three hills. Christopher Columbus was so pleased to find this beautiful island, a lovely island, and he named it Trinidad. Trinidad means Trinity. La Trinidad. Our church in Santiago, which we helped to found 25 years ago, was built on a triangular site, and so we decided to call it La Iglesia de la Trinidad, the Church of the Trinity. The Trinity is so important in our understanding of God. We can't just check this out. This is a bit more difficult, but you're able to it. You're up to it. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all-loving. God is love, and God is eternal. Christ is our teacher, our savior, our redeemer, and coming judge. And the Holy Spirit works in love to develop Christians individually and to develop the church. And the Holy Spirit, as we probably heard last week, although I wasn't with you, produces within us, who have our lives submitted to God, the wonderful fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Part of the scripture reading from Colossians this morning was all about that. Do you see how we're to respond to God's love for us and salvation of us? By actively loving him, who is love. God is love, and he has that father heart of love for you and for me. Something which often isn't spoken about these days concerning the third person of the Trinity are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God gave these gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans, in order to develop us, in order to be with us, in order to give us ministries, to make the Church of Christ grow worldwide. And these gifts include gifts of special wisdom, gifts of knowledge, of faith, gifts also of healing, miracles, prophecy in tongues, and then gifts of teaching, administration, gifts of helps. God gives gifts. We do need to ask him. But often what you see as one of your abilities is one of God's gifts, and it needs to be used for him. You know, the church in the Bible is often referred to as the bride of Christ. And that which should unite a bride with a bridegroom is love. Beryl and I this weekend are celebrating 40 years since we pledged our love one for each other. And we praise God for that. Because God has kept us together. He put us together. He's kept us together. And by his Spirit, we hope and pray he's still using us. It's lovely to look forward to going to Spain in a few days' time in order to stand in for a colleague who's on his sabbatical, to look after a church and the people of that church for a month. God is love, and God wants us to respond to him in love. Beryl has an uncle called Roy Williamson, Bishop Roy Williamson. And I found this amongst our papers. Well, I did find it there. There it is. And Roy simply said those simple words at the bottom: the Holy Spirit is difficult to explain, but wonderful to experience. No, I read that wrongly, didn't I? The Holy Trinity, but I meant the same. The Holy Trinity is difficult to explain, but wonderful to experience. Dear friends, I honestly believe that we need to get to know God better. Christianity is a love affair. It's a love affair with the God who loves us. We need to know him better and love him more. Every marriage should be a growing experience of love. And the marriage of us, the church, with Christ should be that growing experience too. I pray that as a result of this sermon this morning, you will, like Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, simply try to get to know God in all his fullness, his deity, better and better, and discover the fullness of God. I've got a prayer which I'd like us all to join in. It's on your screens now. And here it is. Glorious Trinity. Glorious Trinity, make your presence known in this place through our worship, our prayer, and the reading of your word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, within your unity lies all that is you, perfect love, justice, peace, and power. As we gather here today, as your people, part of your church, new, exciting ways. Empower us and inspire us. Glorious Trinity. Amen. I trust you prayed that from the heart. Wow. There's nothing which God cannot do through a church that is united with Him, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, fully loving Him and obeying Him. The sky, eternity's the limit. Bless you.